Stat number eight. Good afternoon again, Ms. Woodward.
Pedestal Precast Systems, L-1189, requesting authorization to install a bulkhead, mooring dolphins, concrete piers, and to conduct new work dredging and maintenance dredging for the construction of a new travel lift system adjacent to their facility at 1316 Yacht Drive, situated on the southern branch of the Elizabeth River in Chesapeake. Project will require a subaqueous permit and a wetlands permit. Before I begin, I did want to mention the fact that effective August 1st of this year, the City of Chesapeake rescinded their model wetlands ordinance. My understanding, the primary reason for this was for budget reasons. When City Council approved the budget back in May, it eliminated the funding for the staff position that had been vacant, and as a result, they rescinded their ordinance. Coastal Precast Systems currently operates out of their existing facility, which is situated on a 35-acre parcel along the southern branch of the Elizabeth River in the city of Chesapeake. On site, they manufacture precast concrete structures used for parking garages, bridges, and other heavy-duty precast concrete applications. A major market advantage is their ability to transport products via barge along the eastern seaboard. As part of their current proposal, CPS is requesting authorization to construct two new piers to support a travel lift system to accommodate wider and heavier loads weighing up to 350 tons. The immediate need for this system is to stay competitive in the quest for the precast work for the Tappan Zee Bridge replacement project in New York. Securing this job will bring up to 115 new jobs and significant tax revenue to the City of Chesapeake and the Commonwealth, and will position CPS for additional precast markets. This is just a 2009 aerial shot of their existing upland facility and their two existing travel lift systems you can see here. CPS currently utilizes their existing travel lift systems to accommodate barges with maximum dimensions of 56 wide by 220 feet long. The existing gantry cranes are used to transport products from the on-site manufacturing plant to the barge loading area for transport and delivery. The current travel lift systems are not capable of transferring precast loads required for the larger projects, such as the Tappan Zee Bridge project. The proposal includes two new travel lift piers. The northern pier is proposed to be 13 feet wide by 350 feet long. The southern pier is proposed to be 8 feet wide and 290 feet long. Two new 13-pile mooring dolphins are proposed at the terminus of the piers to protect the pier ends as well as to secure barges. The proposed project also includes an 80-foot structural bulkhead with approximately 220 feet of return walls, linear feet of return walls, to support operations, including the rail system for the travel lift gantry. Two 30-foot wave break cantilever bulkheads will be constructed on both sides of the structural bulkhead to protect adjacent wetlands. CPS is proposing to mechanically dredge 8,000 cubic yards of state-owned submerged land and 125 cubic yards of non-vegetated wetlands during an initial cycle to achieve maximum depths of minus 14 feet mean low water within the basin. Additional maintenance dredging of 4,000 cubic yards of material in 5 years is also proposed. Dredged material will be barged to the Craney Island Dredge Material Management Area and disposed of within the rehandling basin. This is the same drawing I just showed you. It just shows the expected impact areas. The subaqueous impact areas are shown in purple, and non-vegetated impact areas are shown in brown, and the impacts to vegetated wetlands are shown in green. This a little more clearly shows your jurisdictional limits. Mean low water is identified by the blue line. The upper limits of your jurisdiction is 1.5 times the mean tide range, indicated by this green line in here. there's a cross-section of the structural bulkhead and the proposed backfill. The top image here is a cross-section of the cantilever steel sheet pile bulkhead. Basically, a cantilever bulkhead derives its support from the interaction with the surrounding soil. And I'll show you some pictures of the existing cantilever bulkheads on site, so it might make a little more sense. At the bottom picture is cross-section looking landward. This is the basin area. This would be the northern pier, 13 feet wide, the southern pier, 8 feet wide, and the proposed dredge depth of minus 14 feet in the water. The next couple slides are ground shots. A little difficult to see, but I'm standing on the northernmost existing pier looking north. The stakes, we had mean low water, mean high water, and 1.5 times the mean tide range stakes. So the new travel lift system and associated piers will be in this location, approximately 135 feet north of the existing pier. This is looking back. So again, the piers will extend out roughly in this direction. This is looking back towards the wetlands. This gives you an idea of what those cantilever bulkheads look like. They're designed. The goal is to protect the adjacent wetlands. And this is a close-up. This is a picture looking back at the northernmost existing travel lift system and piers. I'm standing as close as possible to the end of the existing pier, and my goal or my objective for taking this picture was the fact that I believe the proposed pier will be in line with the existing piers that are there. You can barely see the stakes in the water. And this is approximately what it will look like. The proposed project will impact both subaqueous and tidal wetlands to include impacts to 5,025 square feet of vegetated wetlands, 1,325 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands. CPS is proposing to purchase 5,687 tidal credits from the Libertyville Mitigation Bank to compensate for impacts to both vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands. CPS did consider two alternative on-site locations. However, the impact to vegetated wetlands would have been substantially greater than at the proposed location. They also considered retrofitting their existing travel lift systems. This, however, would have temporarily halted product shipment and would have not provided the expansion potential necessary for CPS to remain competitive in the precast market. Ultimately, the proposed location supports the purpose and need of the project, satisfies the design objective of rail access to the manufacturing plant, and it minimizes environmental impacts to the greatest extent practicable. VIMS indicated that the preferred approach for waterfront industrial development is to site all improvements that are not water dependent entirely in the upland area. In this case, VIMS acknowledges that the proposed improvements are said to be necessary to expand water-dependent operations for loading ocean-going transport barges. And the applicant has selected the preferred location to minimize habitat impacts while still achieving the desired level of facility improvements. VIMS further states that if the proposed facility expansion is determined to be justified, and there are no further options to avoid and minimize wetland and subaqueous impacts, and compensation should be provided for tidal wetland loss as proposed and expected for a commercial project. The proposed project is located within a confirmed use area for anadromous fishes as designated by the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. Therefore, consideration should be given to avoiding dredging during sensitive times for migratory and larval fishes. VIMS states that if it is not feasible to avoid dredging from February 15th to June 15th, then additional mitigation measures to control turbidity during this time period should be considered. In recent years, staff has recommended time of year restrictions from February 15th to June 15th to protect migrating anadromous fishes for certain projects situated along the southern branch of the Elizabeth River. And this has been done as the most protective measure of this natural resource. However, staff does evaluate each project on its own merits and considers various factors when making this determination. In this particular case, the project will not extend across more than a fourth of the width of the southern branch of the Elizabeth River, and the proposed dredging does not include the removal of any contaminated sediment. As proposed, the project will result in substantial impacts to vegetated and non-vegetated tidal wetlands. However, the impacts appear to be unavoidable, and compensation is proposed through the purchase of 5,687 square feet of tidal credits from Libertyville Mitigation Bank. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205A and 28.2-1303-10B, staff recommends approval of the project with the following permit conditions. In lieu of a time of year restriction, permittee agrees to the use of turbidity curtains around the work site from February 15th to June 15th. Permittee shall provide a post-dredging bathymetric survey of the dredged area within 30 days of completion of the dredging. The survey shall be signed and dated by a hydrographic surveyor. The survey shall be referenced to mean low water and shall include depth measurements exterior to the limits of the dredge cut. Pre-dredge conference shall be held on site prior to the commencement of the initial dredging and any subsequent maintenance dredging. The meeting shall be attended by the permittee, the dredging contractor, and a member of the VMRC staff. The meeting shall be held within 7 days prior to the commencement of dredging and shall include an inspection of the dredge area and a discussion of the terms and conditions of the permit. Staff further recommends a one-time standard royalty payment of $12,090 for the dredging of 8,000 cubic yards of subaqueous material at a rate of 45 cents per cubic yard, and for the encroachment of the commercial piers and mooring dolphins over 4,245 square feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom at a rate of $2 per square foot and a permit expiration date of September 30th, 2017. Thank you. I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Is the mitigation bank, or can you give us a sense of where the mitigation bank is relative to the project site?
I believe it's within a mile.
Okay. Thank you.
Within the watershed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Further questions of Ms. Woodward from the commission? All right. Seeing none, is the applicant here represented? Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Rebecca Francis with Waterway Surveys.
Good afternoon. If you would please, raise your hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Thank you. Proceed.
First, I want to thank Justine for her presentation. She covered everything, I thought, very, very well. I did want to make sure that the commission knows that we spent a lot of time working on the minimization of impacts here. It is a waterfront facility, and in order to meet the purpose and need of this project, we did need a larger area for the travel lifts. We had another environmental firm work with us on the siting of that, so we did result in what we felt was a minimization of our wetland impacts. And where we could not minimize, we also installed or included as part of our plan our wave break breakwaters, which have been very effective on the site adjacent to it, as you can see, even in this industrial area. It's done a very nice job in preserving the wetlands that are on site. I really don't have anything else to add, but I'd be happy to add. And we do agree with all of the conditions proposed by VMRC staff.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from the commission? All right, seeing none, thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in support of the application? Is there anyone who'd like to speak against the application? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Plumlee?
I would move to approve with the recommended conditions that are agreed to by the applicant. This is an important project. for Southampton Roads. This is a critical approval for a contract that's currently being considered for this operation. And for those reasons and the reasons already presented, I'd move to approve with the subject conditions.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion?
So moved.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is the commission ready for the question? I'll call the roll again, just in order to preserve the record. Mr. Plumlee?
Aye.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Sussums?
Aye.
Chair votes yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you.